In Judaism, the evil inclination is called the Yetzer Hara. But that phrase is often badly misunderstood. It does not mean a demonic force inside you. It does not mean humans are depraved. And it does not mean there is some cosmic devil competing with God. In classical Jewish thought, the Yetzer Hara is more like the untamed impulse in a person. The pull toward appetite, ego, greed, lust, domination, laziness, envy, self-justification. The tendency to center the self at the expense of what is right. Its counterpart is the Yetzer HaTov, the inclination toward what is good, just, disciplined, compassionate. But here's where Judaism becomes far more psychologically sophisticated than many realize. The Yetzer Hara is not simply bad. The rabbis said, without it, a person could not build a house, marry, have children, start a business, or accomplish much at all. Desire itself is not the enemy. Unruled desire is. There's a famous teaching in the Talmud that when the sages tried to eliminate the evil inclination entirely, life itself began to stall. That is profound. The problem is not energy. The problem is disorder. Judaism often sees spiritual life not as killing the passions, but ordering them. Not annihilation, alignment. This is why Torah is often understood not merely as law, but as training. Discipline for the soul. A harness for power. The Yetzer Hara shows up as rationalizing what you know is wrong, resenting correction, feeding appetite without measure, choosing comfort over duty, making an idol out of ego, using woundedness as permission for harm, convincing yourself tomorrow will be a better day to begin. Very modern, really. Very human. How Judaism works with it. Not through self-hatred, through practice. Judaism tends to assume you will struggle. That is not failure. That is the arena. There's even a striking line in rabbinic thought. The greater the person, the greater the inclination. Meaning, moral struggle may deepen with spiritual seriousness. That overturns shallow religion. A deeper layer. Some Jewish thought, especially Kabbalistic streams, sees the Yetzer Hara not merely as something to resist, but something whose energy can be elevated. Anger can become courage. Desire can become devotion. Ambition can become service. The raw force is not destroyed, it is redeemed. That is a very Jewish idea. Not escape from being human, sanctification of being human. And perhaps the most practical summary is this. The evil inclination is not a monster hiding in you. Yetzer Hara is not the same as the Christian doctrine of a fallen, sin nature. They can sound similar on the surface, but underneath they emerge from very different assumptions about human beings. In much Christian theology, the human being is often framed as fundamentally corrupted through the book of Genesis' fall, sometimes even incapable of true righteousness apart from divine intervention. The problem is often described as ontological. Something is wrong with what you are. Judaism generally does not speak this way. In Jewish thought, the human being is not born depraved. Human beings are born unfinished. That is a radically different anthropology. The struggle is not against an inherited stain. It is against misdirected impulse. In Judaism, the serpent in Eden is often not treated as Satan ruining creation in the later Christian sense. It can be read far more psychologically and morally, as the voice of distortion, the inner argument, the impulse that says, take now, ignore limits, you can define good and evil for yourself. That sounds less like a horned devil and more like the human condition. And then there is this. In some rabbinic readings, the Yetzer Hara is associated precisely with the testing ground that makes freedom meaningful. Without inclination, there is no moral achievement, no overcoming, no virtue. A robot can obey. Only a conflicted being can become righteous. That is profound. Even more radical, the rabbis sometimes link the Yetzer Hara to energies that are necessary for civilization itself, sexual desire, ambition, acquisition, competition, creative drive. Dangerous? Yes. Also, necessary. Judaism often asks, how is this force governed? Not, how is this force eradicated? That is a different spiritual project. There's a striking image in Genesis Rabbah. The evil inclination is compared not to an alien invader, but to something woven into human development itself. You do not amputate it, you mature in relation to it. Very different than total depravity. This also changes how one hears sin. In much Christian framing, sin equals guilt before God. In much Jewish framing, sin, chet, literally carries the sense of missing the mark, like an archer off target, not total corruption, misalignment. And what is the remedy? Not metaphysical rescue from inherited ruin, but teshuva, return, realignment, repair. That is extraordinarily hopeful. If I had to reduce the difference, some theology says you are broken by nature and need saving. Jewish thought more often says you are endowed with conflicting impulses and need wisdom. Those are not the same religion, not remotely. And honestly, one of the most beautiful things Judaism offers is this. The struggle itself is not evidence of your failure. It may be evidence you are alive to the work. Here's where things go even deeper. From God's perspective, at least insofar as Jewish thought dares speak of such things, the Yetzer Hara is not an accident. It is part of creation, which means it is somehow included in what God called good in the book of Genesis. That alone should make one pause. Because if God made human beings with conflicting impulses, then struggle is not a defect in the design, it is part of the design. One rabbinic insight puts it almost shockingly. The Yetzer Hara is not merely tolerated by God, it is used by God. Used as the condition for moral freedom, the arena of becoming, the resistance against which character forms. Without resistance, there's no strength. Without temptation, there's no integrity. Without the possibility of selfishness, there's no generosity. Virtue only means something where vice was possible. That suggests something enormous. God may not view the evil inclination as an enemy to existence, but as part of the machinery through which souls mature. Some sages go further. There's a reading of very good in Genesis, Tov Me'od, where some rabbis daringly say, good refers to the good inclination, very good refers even to the evil inclination. Think about that. Not because cruelty is good, but because even the unruly drive, harnessed rightly, can serve life. That is almost paradoxical enough to sound mystical, because it is. From this angle, God may see the Yetzer Hara not simply as your enemy, but as your work, your material, like rough stone given to a sculptor. And this changes the question. Instead of, why did God make me struggle? It becomes, what is this struggle shaping? What can I learn from this struggle? Very different question. In some Jewish thought, even Satan functions this way. Not as a rebel rival to God, that is largely a later development, but almost as a prosecutor, tester, examiner. Still under divine sovereignty, like in the book of Job. Which means, even accusation may mysteriously serve refinement. A hard idea, but a powerful one. Then there is another layer. Some Hasidic thought suggests the deepest service of God is not done by angels, who have no conflicting impulses, but by human beings precisely because we do. An angel obeys by nature. A human being wrestles toward obedience. Which do you think reveals more? The one who cannot rebel? Or the one who can and chooses alignment? That is almost the whole drama of Torah. And perhaps from God's perspective, the struggle itself may be precious. Not just the victory, the wrestling. After all, the name Jacob becomes Israel, one who wrestles with God. Not one who never struggles, one who wrestles. That may tell you something. Maybe the evil inclination is not evidence you are far from God. Maybe how you wrestle with it is one of the places you meet God. That is a very Jewish possibility. Amen.